来好几杯给你。
哈哈哈哈哈。Yeah. We are still early, huh? Yeah. So we can actually meditate if you want to. Another 8 minutes to go. Or if you have any question or anything that you want to understand, you can also ask. I know. Great compassionate mantra. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Very good question. You are talking about the great compassionate mantra. Oh, yeah. So the question was, he wants to know how the Buddhist chanting can actually be understood or developed in a proper manner. So he said he used to chant the Great Compassionate Mantra, but there are so many versions. So you are familiar with the Sanskrit version or the Sanskrit? What you need to understand is the Great Compassionate Mantra is actually a mantra that is recalling all the great manifestation of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. She got 84 manifestation, if I'm not wrong. So these are the recorded manifestation where she come and take birth. And these are the great beings that has a lot of compassion, a lot of loving kindness, a lot of wisdom. So they compile all this name into a mantra. That's why this mantra got no meaning one. It's only the name of this Bodhisattva. Then when you chant, if you have the faith, it has its potentness because of this great being's perfection. Their vow has become part of nature's law. And this great compassionate mantra, you have faith, you have affinity. When you chant sincerely, it has great power to develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of goodness. So it has been practiced or cultivated by many, many Mahayana monks, even Theravada. They like to chant this mantra. Even our Kayamita, they go India, they follow Achana Chalo, they also chant. It's also in our chanting book, towards the end there. You have seen it. You chant this version or there's another version, which is the there are two ways to sing this. Namo Ratna Trayaya, Namo Aryaya. So all this, there are two versions that I've heard of. Both are very, very melodious, very nice, and the vibration are very good. Then I remember somebody sent this WhatsApp. I play this one for you. This is very good. I think it came from Miss Lee. Sunday, must be Sunday. Oh, you WhatsApp to her already. Okay, this is a very good version. Okay, so this is one of the version more towards the Sanskrit. There's another one, Mandarin version. The Mahayana type. So it depends on which one suit you. Actually, no different. As long as you chant with understanding, the faith is there. Then it has its potency. Then that vibration is very soothing. Then with the faith, Sada Virya, it will manifest. Then you can direct all this wholesomeness. Just like what she did at the end. She wish you all good health, good mind and all these things. Then the great compassionate mantra is full of love and compassion. And these are the beings that have perfected themselves. Because they are all manifestation of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva during different period of time. And all this 80-hour manifestation, they are very, very famous and beautiful being at that time when they arise. So chanting can bring about great spiritual faculties. When you chant in the faith, Sada will be there, spiritual faculty. Then when you understand how wonderful that teaching is, especially the Heart Sutta and the Buddha Dhamma, then the virya will be there. Then when you chant with mindfulness, awareness, sati will be there. Yeah. Then when you chant until body and mind as one, that sada go together with the virya and sati will become very powerful, unshakable. Then you accumulate and become samadhi. Then when you have samadhi in the midst of daily life, it can allow you to understand many, many things. You can start to see things as they are, yeah, with the spiritual faculty of sada, virya, sati, samadhi. Then you will awaken, you will understand. That's what they call wisdom, the last of the five spiritual faculties. Yeah. So when spiritual faculty is there, the hindrance will be overcome. Then without the hindrance, your mind will always be in the meditative state. That is what heedfulness is all about. Yeah? Our last Thursday discussion, we talk about the importance of cultivation. Yeah? So I wrote here on the whiteboard, Dhamma cultivation is a full-time job. Yeah. So to do it, you must have a good religious routine. So chanting can be part of it. Yeah. Then you have to strive on with heedfulness. Yeah. Then you have to understand the importance of this training, because according to the Buddha, the heedless are as if dead. So you need to train your mind to have spiritual faculty to be heedful throughout the day. Then you have to be dead serious about the practice. Means you must have sada, virya, sati, leading to heedfulness throughout the day in your daily life. If you are able to do this, you will progress. You will progress and you will become very different. Oh, we have to start now. 8:15 already. So thank you so much for your question. We all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, maybe today we get two new people to light the candle and incense. Who? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brother Tan and the wife come. Yeah. Then the rest we can get ready for puja. The lighter is down there. Down there. Oh, Suyan has got one. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. sadhu, 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 sadhu.
Okay, thank you so much. You all can be seated. Then we can commence our puja chanting. Maintain sada, faith within your mind. Then together with the virya, we shall mindfully chant the puja recitation.
Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sangham namami.
Okay, you can be seated, then we will turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will commence the Pali chanting.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.
Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light.
Ganna sarapaditena
dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena vitena ca hotu mukhang upang melayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these Dhamma offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation of born-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Padang Pujemi. Tamang Pujemi. S
Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind, then we can commence the meditation. Ah, sadhu, 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 sadhu. I can make the offering here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. So tonight everybody here before, very easy. So straight away, for those who know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. We were off the light. And for those who still need to train the mind, you train. Then must always remember, we must meditate with understanding. So there are two stages in meditation, okay? Initially, if you are still new, you have not developed the spiritual faculty, you have not trained the mundane mind, the healer's mind, then you need to train. So to train this mind, there are some skillful means that you can adopt. And you have to understand the reason why the spiritual faculty are not there is because you have not cultivated them. So this one need you to really reflect into the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us, especially the meaning of the Triple Gem. When you recite the chanting, you have to understand the meaning deep behind all this chanting. Why all the Buddha, the puja chanting that the Buddha recommend, why do we chant them? They have their meaning and significance. So when you understand their meaning and significance, then the chanting becomes effective. Then it will bring forth a condition for spiritual faculties to arise. Because all this will remind you, especially the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, you will come to understand who the Buddha is, how special he is, and how wonderful a teacher he is. Then you will also come to understand how unique the Buddha Dhamma or the teaching of the Buddha is, and how it can bring forth the wisdom to enable the living beings to liberate their mind, to become enlightened. Then of course, thirdly is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the Sangha, they are a great field of merits. So you have to understand. Then you must know how to develop the synergy as planned or proclaimed by the Buddha. The Sangha community is to provide synergy with the lay people, because the Sangha community, they diligently take the Patimokkha or monks' precepts and they vow to cultivate sincerely, strive on with faithfulness, so that they are worthy of offering, worthy of respect, worthy of give and hospitality. So this synergy is very important. So in return, the lay people can support them with these four requisites. Then after receiving all this, the Sangha member can also play their role. They will rejoice in all this wholesomeness. They invoke the power of merit for your blessing, for your protection. Then they will share the Dhamma with you. That's how all this synergy can come about. Then through all this, you will develop the faith, the sadha, the virya, then the mindfulness, where the teaching will be taught to you. Then when your mindfulness stabilizes, you will have samadhi. Then when you have sati and samadhi, your mind state is very different. It will allow you to see things as they are, to develop the right view, to understand the truth. Then when you understand the truth, you straighten your view. This is how the cultivation begins. Then you start to understand clearly all of the significance of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught, how the advice of the Buddha come about and all those things. So through this, the spiritual faculty will be developed. Then it will automatically help you overcome the five mental hindrances. So the Buddha's meaning is very clear. If you don't train your mind, develop the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be there. That's the reason why living beings are not peaceful. Because this mental hindrance, like the word hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why they are called mental hindrance. And if throughout the day you are heedless, you are not mindful, you do not train yourself properly, you do not develop the cultivation to stabilize your spiritual faculty, then this hindrance will become very active, very strong. Then as you go through your life, daily life, every moment of sense or consciousness, you will arise the mental hindrance, especially the first two, sensual desire and ill will. Then you will also entangle yourself. Your mind will become restless, full of fear, anxiety and worry, because you cannot understand life. When you confront certain realities of life and existence, you develop fear. You start to worry, you start to project your thought. Then because of fear, there is anxiety. Then when you are afflicted, there is sorrow, lamentation. This is what the Buddha called dukkha, suffering. So suffering can arise when you don't have the right understanding. When the essential Buddha Dhamma, the essential Dhamma of the Buddha are not understood. So meditation is about understanding that the mental hindrances are the one that make us heedless. So what we need to do is to reverse all these mental hindrances. That's why we taught you some skillful means. We call it a mind sweeping method. Then you combine metta. You need to do this to decondition your heedless thinking. Then you do. Then this deconditioning of the heedless thinking through the mind sweeping method or body scanning, some call it, will help you develop the inner peace, inner calmness. Then after that, you combine with loving kindness, starting from yourself, radiating love and metta to yourself to allow you to have this well-being inside so that you are happy, you are peaceful. And when you are happy and peaceful, you have joy and you relax automatically. So mind sweeping method followed by loving kindness metta will bring about inner peace, leading to inner well-being. So this is the first skillful mean practice, so that your mind will be deconditioned and become less active. It will become more quiet because you just feel relaxed, you don't think anymore. So the deconditioning of the heedless thinking will make your mind peaceful, quiet. That is the first stage. Then temporarily, it will overcome the hindrance. Then with that, you can start to meditate or stabilize this mind state of inner peace and inner well-being. So another skillful means will be anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. As I use that to train yourself until this mind become very peaceful, very calm, and fully aware of the in and out breath. Then don't try to know anything, just relax and aware. Then sooner or later, your mind state will transform. You will develop piti, spiritual calmness or spiritual rupture. Then as you relax further, piti will transform and become more subtle, until you experience sukha. Then the breathing also will change, the rhythm also will change. You will become more peaceful, more calm, more relaxed. Then when sukha arises, continue to relax into it. Do not attach to the bliss and other things. Continue to relax and just silent and let things be. Then after a while, even this sukha will stabilize and become basati. Basati is the silent mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. When the mind is so quiet without thought, it becomes very still, very tranquil, silent. You can only have this basati when your mindfulness is stable. And it is very easy to have them if you have the spiritual faculty. That's why when your spiritual faculty is stable, it's already there. Technically, you don't need to train this mind because you are already in the state of meditation. Without the mental hindrance, you will be in your natural state of mind, which is the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So meditation is very simple when you understand this. So now I allow you to meditate on your own. Yeah. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. Yeah. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. For this is the mind state that you need to use to develop the meditation in daily life. So, daily mindfulness. Oh, sadhu. Wow, beautiful flowers. So, you came at the right time when the meditation just ends. Oh, sadhu, you can ting tong earlier next time, don't worry. Sadhu, anyway, rejoice. So now we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king or sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Yeah.
Dear brothers and sisters, let us invite the devas together in Pali.
Samanta Chakravalisu Atragacantu Devata Sadamam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahan Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pachyatang veditado vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanya Satisanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho yadidāṁ chattari purisayukkāni atha purisapugala esa bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Nutarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Let's pay respect to Puja. Badang Puja. Damang Puja. Sanghang Puja. Okay. You can be seated. Then maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we will start off with the second session. Second session is meditation, reporting, followed by whatever question you have. The question can be on meditation or the teaching or anything that you need to understand as to how to apply this teaching so that it can help you develop the wisdom in life to overcome all your whatever problems in life or overcome whatever life situation that you confront. Okay, now we open it up. You just have to put up your hand or you have written question, you pass it forward. Anybody? Just now we answer one question before we start. From our brother there, he asked about chanting. Because the great compassionate mantra that he loved to chant, he said there are many versions. So, how to do it correctly with the right understanding? Is there any difference if we chant the various types? So he was more familiar with the Pali version. Sanskrit version. the one that I think Joyce, they all used to chant on. Arya or something. So we had a recording, I think. Miss Lee sent over to us. So I played the recording just now. So you want to listen. You listen the recording, you will hear it. So this great compassionate mantra I explained to him is a very unique mantra because this particular mantra, they are the list of 84 manifestations of Kuan Yin, the various names that the manifestation take when Kuan Yin's nature through its karmically conditioned form and mind take birth into the civilization that they are involved in. So all these are great beings who have cultivated, well, perfected the Dhamma, the virtue, the wisdom, together with the great loving kindness and compassion. So because of their parami, when they connect all these famous manifestations of Kuan Yin, it becomes the great compassionate mantra. Not only compassionate mantra, but the great. They call it Tapeto. And this one has its effect. The world needs more and more love and compassion. This type of vibration with that type of understanding will give rise to that type of mind that is very special. It not only has wisdom, it has love, it has compassion, and it's always in action to help the world. That's why this chanting is very, very powerful, very important, and it can help many, many people to develop the real understanding of love and compassion. Then it can also bring about a lot of healing to the world consciousness. That's why when you have faith and you chant your understanding, it is very, very powerful. Okay, so that is the first question. Anymore? Or you all better report your meditation, that is more important. You just have to raise your hand, don't worry, don't be shy. As usual, so quiet, nobody asks. So what you want me to talk on, or share on? Oh, that one need condition to come out. I also cannot remember what it is. Anybody got the Platform Sutta book? Maybe I go through that chapter, I may recall. Because that day, the condition is such, there were two or three persons who asked some very good questions. Then the condition arise, then I explain them. Anybody got the book, Platform Sutta? Don't. Never mind, then just let things be. I know the three body I have spoken on the Tuesday class, but before that, there is about this virtue and merits, I think, the emperor one. Oh, there. Our bird already sound. Never mind, if got condition, it will come out. No condition, then cannot. Because that day was very beautiful. The whole thing came out very beautiful. I explained many things that were not really understood. I cannot remember. You don't ask me to remember what I say. yes. You use the mic for the recording. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, just speak on it. Need to turn anything? White button.
Good evening, everyone.
Yes.
I got a question regarding.
It's on this.
Yeah, I got a question regarding about ancestor.
Oh, okay.
Right. Like my I got two sons.
Yes.
One is 8 years old, another one is 6 years old.
Okay.
Just recently when I started to join this group.
Yes.
And then I started to chant the Mahakaruna Dharma Sutta together with my son. Sometimes, I mean in the midnight, I heard someone call me.
Oh,
alright, call my name.
Yeah.
All right. And then regarding my father.
Oh, okay.
All right. And because some yesterday I went to seek for I would say it's a medium.
Right.
Because my father was having
I know.
Right. And
yes.
The medium says they are during his sleep. He can see some ancestor as well as he can hear the ancestor calling. So I asked, what should I do?
What did the medium tell you?
Pray.
Oh.
Right.
You didn't ask him, pray what? How to pray?
Yeah, so I just want, so my question is still regarding the ancestor. That's my question. Right.
So your question is you want to develop the understanding, whether this thing is true or not, and whether it affects you in any way. You see, when we talk about ancestor, means what? Those who are related to us but have already migrated. They use the word migrated to the other world. Okay, this is not our civilization's worldly migration. You migrate to another country, it's also migration. But the polite way of saying that they have died, actually when you die, you take birth, you migrate to another realm. But you take birth as a human being again, you don't need to migrate, you come back to the country that you're supposed to have resident. So a more subtle way of saying our departed relatives or ancestors, we use the word they have migrated. So this is the question that most people don't understand, even Buddhists don't quite understand. So we have this Chinese traditional practice or Chinese culture, and they always go and ask medium, and medium will tell you a lot of story about your ancestor coming back and sometimes disturbing you and those things. Then sometimes not medium, even your own parents or grandparents, when they are sick, when they are old, when they are about to pass away, or when they go through certain state of mind transformation, like your father's case, because he was sick, has kidney problem, complication or something, then he like got dreams, dream of the departed relative. Then, like in the dream, he can hear them calling him. Then there are even this cancer patient, cancer patient who are at the verge of like dying, because they don't understand. Then even when they are at home, sometimes in the hospital. These are actual cases because they came and see me because of their problem. Then through some recommendation from Kayanamita, who learned meditation from me, I told them if they want to see me, then okay, you can bring them or I can go and see them. So there was a few cases, but there was one very, very good as an example so that you understand. She was having this breast cancer, quite young, not that old, 40 plus, I think, at the prime of her career. And she got this breast cancer, then she got so much problem, so much suffering, so much fear, and she cannot understand what is going on, but she knew it was causing her a lot of problem, pain and all things. Then when the doctor diagnosed and confirmed that it is cancer, first thing they recommend is to do the operation. So for her, she don't understand, so out of fear, without seeking proper advice, he decided then that he will hospitalize or hospitalize him herself and go ahead with the operation. But then when she was hospitalized, it was very traumatic. And you know, in the hospital environment, she actually saw all this non-human. But the doctor cannot understand her. The husband also cannot understand her. Those people around also cannot understand her, because when I went and see her because of one of our Kayanamita who learned meditation under me, then he said, "Brother, can you help to visit her so that she can have better understanding and calm herself down?" I said, "Provided she wants to meet me." Then because good friend, she trusted her this meditator friend who attended my class, then she came back and contacted me and said, "Yeah, brother, she is willing to see you." I said, "Okay, good. So when?" So they fixed the night. One night after that day, the next night. So that was a Saturday. So I went. before I reached the house, that house, there were two dogs inside there. They were not barking, they were howling. That type of howling, you know, associated with non-human and those spirit howling and all those things. Then the cat also reacted. Then when I went near the house, I can feel the very, very negative vibration inside, the eerie vibration and the fear and all those things. Then they pressed the bell, then allow us to go in. The moment I went in, I saw her, she was full of fear, you know, so strong and intense, you know, the fear. She didn't even dare to look at me. She just go to her friend and together with her friend went in. Then I greeted her. I said, "You must be so and so." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm Ratio." I said, "Nice to meet you." Then she was still very like reserved and fearful, very, very fearful. Then I told my dad, student who learned meditation from me, I said, "Why not get her to bring a cup of water for me?" And I said, then I think she didn't pass the proper message. She tell her, "Can get a glass of drink for Brother Teo." She go and ask the maid to bring it for me. Then I said, "Never mind." I said, "It's okay, we have no condition." Then after that, I sat down. Then, as usual, the Kayanamita want to start the conversation. Then I had to address the situation. I told her, I said, "I really need to listen from you direct," I say, because what I heard from my this student is what she believed to be the case. So I need to listen direct from you so that I can understand the real happening, then my nature can advise you accordingly. So at first she was quite reluctant to say certain things. Then I actually gave her some confidence and faith. I said, "Don't worry." I said, "Just calm yourself down." I said, "I can sense your fear. You have a lot of fear." I thought, "Oh, really?" Well, then straight away, it like hit her on the nail on the head. She straight away looked at me. Then he told me, "Yeah," I said, "I got a lot of fear. It was like hell to me." He said. Then I say, "What happened?" He said, he explained how she landed herself in the hospital. Then she told me, when she was in the hospital, she saw this non-human. In front one, at the side one, up there, a few. Then talking to her, she was full of fear. She screamed, she shrieked, then she chased them off. Sure. And the nurse all couldn't understand her. Then report to the doctor. Then the doctor came. The doctor tried to talk to her, counsel her, but cannot. It was like the whole ward was no peace. Then the husband came. He told the husband don't believe it, never mind, he said, "It must be hallucinating," he said. He said, "Listen to the doctor." But the wife cannot, he said, "I want to go home," he said. Then the doctor also talked to the husband, he said, "Better to let her go home, so that you can have the weekend with yourself, then Monday come, only see how the situation, then only go for the surgery." So that Saturday, she was back at home. That's how I went and see her. Then when she told me all this, the non-human, I said, "Yeah, they are real." She looked at me, you know. It's like first time somebody believe what she said. You know. Then after that, he said, "You wait." He called the husband down. He want the husband to listen. For the first time in her life, you know, she told me, nobody can explain what happened to her. So I asked her, "What is your job?" She told me, I said, "Very likely it is because of your stress. the moment I mentioned stress, she said yes. Her job was very stressful, he said. He worked in an environmental listed company, HR, so it was so stressful. He said every time the phone ring, the MD's phone or the secretary of the MD's phone, there is cold fear inside. I say, no wonder you get cancer very fast. So this fear, this stress, is very negative in this energy field. I don't know. So you need to have calmness, peacefulness. Then I say, don't worry, I will explain all this to you. Then I will teach you how to calm yourself down and develop the inner peace, the inner well-being, and all those things. Then after that, I explained to her brother, I said, are you a Buddhist? And she said, no. Is a Chinese traditional Buddhist, once a year Buddhist. Vesak day only go temple. Then don't understand real Buddhism, but believe in medium and all those things. So these are the usual. I said, never mind, at least this is better. I said, what I need you to understand is there are nature's law that governs life and existence called karma, understand? And that whatever you do to people in your past life, without knowing it, you inherit all this. So when the condition come for you to experience all this that you did to people last time, you will have to go through all this. Then when your karmic condition is like that, you will experience all this. You will have this disease and all those things. Then I told her, I cannot reveal the whole truth, because it will panic her. I said, why you can see all this being is because your vibration. You know, we all got our own vibration. When you have so much fear, so much worry, anxiety and negativity, your health so weak, actually, she is actually about to die within those few days. But I cannot say, I just say your vibration has become so weak that your vibration mesh with this type of being's vibration. And then you can see them, you can hear them. And they are real, they exist. Sometimes not necessary to be in this state to see them. Some, they are actually from past life, Devarim or this Petarim. They still retain some ability to see and what. Then sometimes they have this type of what they call DNA when they are born into this world. Then sometimes in the Mandarin, they call it Cantonese, Yam Yong Ngan, that type of eye, I can see this on a non-human. Sometimes because they are from that rhyme, the birth before. So, there are a lot of variation and possibility, but doesn't mean they don't exist. They exist. There are many, many of them. And you can feel them. You will feel them. Then sometimes there are beings who can see them. Not necessarily you are special to see all these beings. There are quite a number of people can see them. Sometimes certain people, when they are young, they can see. Then as they grow up, they cannot see. Then some, they retain this ability until quite long. Then you can hear them talking and all those things. Sometimes it's when you are asleep, in your dreams, then they come. Sometimes before you wake up, also they come. Then sometimes it's not necessary in your dream, in the day. Your affinity or what, you can hear one. There are a few Kayamita who can hear that. Or sensitive to other things. Then they used to come and share with me, talk to me, but for me, I don't want to see all these things. I don't have this type of affinity to cultivate this type of thing. That's why my way is very different. So I don't see all these things. I don't develop ability to know all these things. But my nature can understand many, many of these things. So, When these are related to me, I can understand how it works and what actually happened. So after I explained this to her, she called her husband down. Then she has faith and confidence. She asked my dad, Kairamita, what your friend do? He answered, he thought my profession is to come and counsel this type of people. Is it psychiatrist? No, he's an engineer. Civil engineer. How come he know all this? He says, well, he is very good. He's a meditator. He's a cultivator. He understands a lot of things about the mind, about life, and other things. Then, after that, he got more confident because I want to explain the Four Noble Truths to her. I say the cause of suffering, the reality of life existence, when you confront, you don't understand, you will suffer. And the cause is due to your delusion, ignorance, the condition, your fear, worry, anxiety. Then your mind state becomes like that. And all this has to do with karmic. So I say to reverse all this, you have to understand that you have to do and cultivate the opposite we call spiritual faculties, the loving kindness, so that we bring about inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being to our mind state. Because I say all this fear, worry, anxiety, these are negative energy field. This is very, very negative. And they will bring down your immune system. That's how you become sick, succumb to this type of disease. And it's very common. Stress is the main cause. So fear, worry, anxiety due to stress and lack of understanding, that fear becomes intensified. Then you don't know what to do. Then she told me what, when in the hospital also, is it crazy? Not only the non-human disturb her, She can see, she can hear, the other people cannot see, cannot hear. And she was full of fear. Then all the friend, the colleague who came, of course they meant well. You know what they say to her? The Christian come, he said, you have to come to my church. Believe in God. God will save you. Then after that, the Buddhists come. You must chant. You must believe in Kuan Yin. Chant Ta Bei Zhou. Then you must come for Dhamma class. She is totally confused. This one tell one thing, that one come tell one thing. But nobody can tell her why she is like that. And develop the understanding to come out of it. So we say, it make the situation worse. Until she got fed up, she don't want to have visitor. She only call her very close friend, childhood friend, and schoolmate, unimate. So because of that, when she met me, she was so happy. She said, so what must I do? I said, very simple. I said, if you have faith in Kuan Yin, you have an altar, you go and pay respect, I said. Then you can chant simple chanting. Namo Kuan Sing Pusa also can. Then the Pali chanting, Namo Tassa or whatever, that can give you faith, I say. Then after that, I will teach you loving kindness meditation. So as I teach her metta, I say relax, silent everything, then close your eye. Then maintain attentiveness on your forehead. And do the mind sweeping method. Then after that, I say you must radiate love and metta to yourself to bring about inner peace, inner well-being, so that your cells will have this positive energy. Then I say you can start by reciting, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, physical and mental. Well, the moment she hear that, she felt very good, The vibration changed. Then she said, "Brother, wait. He go and take an exercise book down. He want to copy down word by word. I say, okay, you try to copy down. Then I told her, we will give you a book on this metta thing, Then I told her, I said, very likely you got insomnia, you cannot sleep. He said, yeah, she has been hell the last 1 or 2 weeks. completely cannot sleep. Then that night, I went there about 8:30 or 9. 12 midnight only, I went out. Because she was so happy. And after she talked to me, and later on, I told her, can you personally go and get me a cup of drink, the water? Then only she understood, no. Otherwise, she go and call the maid again, no. Because she got a maid, a full-time maid. Because her career is quite good. She's quite successful. The husband also quite successful. So what happened was, after she has this faith and confidence, she felt much better. He said, for the first time in my life, he said, I met somebody who had explained to me what happened to me and how I can come out of this situation. Then I said, you don't worry. You start out by doing all this. Then after that, you have to ask for forgiveness, I tell her. Oh, then she copied down, how to ask for forgiveness. And you won't believe her. That night after we left her, she really go and do. Then she told the classmate the next day, which is the Kayamita, she called her very early, I think about 6 something or 7 o'clock. He said that was the first night after so long that she had a good sleep. She was in the state of insomnia, cannot sleep for so long. And he said that night he had a very, very good sleep. And she woke up and make that call because she was so happy, and she thanked her and tell her to thank me, and she said she will come to the class. Later on she came, she recovered. And after about a year plus or what, I think because of complacent or what, then somehow the thing relapsed. I think 2 or 3 years. But she already by then, she used to attend my Saturday class at Champaka. She already told me 3-4 months before the thing actually happened. She already knew she don't have much time left because after the relapse, she knows she can pull through and all those things. But she told me, relative, thank you so much for the teaching, the Dhamma. Now I got no more problem. I got no more fear. The only thing that I still have concern is my husband and my 2 daughters. Her daughter that time, I think like your daughter's age, 6 and 8. Is it your children? 6 and 8, same. Then she told me when she was in those states, she can feel that the daughter also suffer, the daughter also have fear. And she used to last time spend a lot of time working, don't have time for the kid because leave it to the maid and all those things. Then when she was undergoing all this treatment, then when she started to understand and learn the meditation, she starts to devote more time to the family, to the daughter. Then she started to look at her homework and all that. Then she came across one exercise book about the essay that she wrote. The daughter actually cried and wrote to the teacher, asked the teacher to help. He said, my mother was crying every day, full of fear and all that. Then when she read that, she felt so bad. And that was the essay 2 months ago. So that's why all this make her understand that life is not just about money, money, money. There are so much more to life. Your children, they need you. They also have feeling. So if you have problem, your loved one worry for you. And when they are kid, they cannot understand. They also worry for you, but they only know how to approach their school teacher for help. And when she saw that, she was in tears. Then her love and her care for the daughter grew. This is how you develop the understanding. Then your heart open up. You have a lot of gratitude towards people who love you, who have affection, and who has developed the kindness towards you. So all this is what she starts to learn. Then as she meditates, she learned many things. Then she can understand this one is for my mind, non-self, arising, even though not the perfect state. Yeah. But the understanding was very good. Keep her very peaceful, very calm. She got no more fear. Then she told me, but dear, it was complacency. Because after that, he went back to work. Shouldn't have gone back to work. Understand? It is the work environment that caused all this. Then, I think, the old habit come back. Understand? When you go back to work, then for a certain period, I think, he also do less meditation and cultivation. But whatever it is, she actually prepared everything and got ready for the husband and the children to actually continue on after she leave. Then all Kayamita we went. We did the chanting and all those things. Then just like your wife's mother, Sally, but that one, you give us some time to actually do the sharing and chanting and all things. There, because it was a Chinese traditional thing, the husband had faith in me because the wife told him he became so much better. You can see the change after he met me and attended the classes. Then the husband later told me, her wish is to see you all, with the Kairamita, especially your brother, to attend the funeral, the wake and all that. And we went. Then I can feel the joy and the happiness and all those things. So many things happened. But during that 2 over years when she recovered, I told her, you should have a lot of joy. But this is a blessing in disguise. If you have not gone through this, you will not have the condition to understand the Buddha Dhamma. You will not know how to ask for forgiveness. You will not know how to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. And you will never know how to live. Because this is from your past. You cannot do anything. That's why determine from now on not to be deluded anymore. Determine to have this understanding so that life after life you don't make mistakes anymore. So that your future can be taken care of. And she keep on telling me, no more problem with it. But till now I understand it's only the children and the husband and all things. So this type of Dhamma can be developed and understood. And your question about ancestors, they are also true. It's because their vibration, when your dad go through that, but your dad one is in the dream. Not so bad, in the dream is not the same as in normal daytime, also can see means the vibration very bad. Really. In the dream means sometimes this non-human, they want to contact your father, but they cannot come when he's awake, unless the vibration go down. So they will only come when you are sleeping, then in the form of dream and other things. So there are many possibility, and sometimes, especially those whose loved one just passed away, if you are mindful, sensitive, you can feel them, like they come back, and in certain cases, they can hear them too. You want to know more, you ask your aunt. She got tell you anything or not? She told them a lot of things. She has this ability because the sister very close to her, communicated with her. A lot of things happened. She came and see me and relate to me, so I rejoice. So you don't worry, your mom is in good hand. She has the Dhamma and all those things. So your aunt is a very good example. You don't have to believe me, because you hear direct from her. And she really can see, feel, and talk, communicate. And the thing is like very clear one, not like speculation or whatever, no. Because she past life, from the Devarayana come down. That's why the friends all up there are actually watching her and helping her. But because of her mixed karmic thing from the past, she has a lot of wholesomeness too, but she also have to pay back some of the karmic. That's why initially they get involved with the Tibetan tradition where they go through a lot of suffering and all those things. Well, in the past, you also teach people the wrong thing. People also go through all those suffering, fear, worry, and life. So this life come, you become the victim condition happen. Then luckily when she was going through all these things, then when she young, she also had some karmic thing. So she met me, I think about years ago at Champaka, together with your Hui Ling is your cousin sister, yeah, same, yeah, is your mother's niece. So she actually know one of my Kayamita, Mimi. Then Mimi got business dealing with them, sell cow. Then Mimi saw her full of anxiety, fear, very excitable, got problem and all those things. Then after the business dialogue, he told Hui Ling, he said, why don't you come to my teacher's class, he said, Brother Teo's class, Champaka very near on it. And I think it took her quite a while to convince her. But luckily your sister, your cousin sister came. After she come, first lesson come, I can see the fear and the stress and the problem with her. She also had some problem with her earlier boss, who actually absconded to Hong Kong, I don't know what, and all those problems. Then because she worked there, a lot of other problems. Client coming after her, where the boss ran off, absconded with the money. So her passport also, I think, got problem, cannot go overseas. But I teach her how to overcome them, ask for forgiveness and change and meditate. Then she recovered. Then immediately after that, she go and tell your aunt, the aunt, and Chung. Then Sally also came. Then the other good friend, Hui Rong, also came. All the four of them, very consistent. Actually, that time, I remember, they all four should come on for the class. Never miss her. Because they couldn't understand what happened. So after I explained the whole thing, then they start to understand the true teaching. Last time they go to Tibetan, they only know the chanting, I'll say. They were told to chant and do a lot of funny things until it become like causing them a lot of problem, a lot of harm and all those things. So that one is too lengthy to talk. You want to know more, maybe ask them yourself. So whatever it is, after they understand, then they have faith, then they follow the real Buddha Dhamma way, which is very simple. Don't have to pay anything, don't have to travel, do initiation and all those things. Don't have to do all those funny things. Like you have to promise them, you chant, you must continue to chant, don't know how many 100,000 times. You don't do, they put fear in you. You will get into trouble. Until they come and tell me, brother, what happened if I stop halfway? We are now want to go the true Dhamma way. Also fear of what they have promised them. I say, you don't worry. If you understand, all this fear will go. Because these are your subconscious fear. Because you believe, then you get into trouble. Then now you want to come out, you remember the word they told you. Then sometimes they even tell you, like one of the other lady, he told her one, no, he said, your daughter, that time only 9 years old or what, he said, she cannot pass, don't know what issue. So that time when they came and see me, it was very near already. She got so much fear because of what those, that sect, the Tibetan sect told her. So all this, I don't know whether fortune teller also inside there, or I don't know. So they become so full of fear and all those things. So when you don't understand, all this will have an effect on your subconscious. But like the Buddha said, you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So take care of karma. Karma will take care of your life. That's why they asked the Buddha, what is the best protection? You know the Buddha's reply is what? What is the best protection? Yeah? What is the highest protection? Virtue. The Buddha just answered, virtue, nothing else. Virtue, is it? Without virtue, there is no protection. Virtue is the highest protection. If you have virtue, there is no karmic negativity. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can disturb you. That's why when you keep your precept, when you develop wholesomeness, you follow the advice of the Buddha. And virtue is the highest protection. So don't worry about what people tell you and what people say. Then later on, when they start to understand, they dare to actually give up on what they earlier on hold on to, the wrong view, all those things, the fear, the projection. I say these are all your thought, your subconscious fear through attachment, wrong view, you believe. Then it put fear into you because you don't understand. So I told them, the past is already gone. You cannot change your karmic. But moment to moment from now onward, you have the condition to change, to do something about it. That's why I say, if you know that in the past, you have committed a lot of evil, a lot of negativity, a lot of negative karmic conditioning. So this line, you have to confront them. If there is condition, you have to pay back. But you can still improve your life tremendously when you understand this teaching. So that's why I teach them to ask for forgiveness. When you really repent, ask for forgiveness, then vow sincerely from now onward not to repeat all this and admit that all these are karmic negativity which you really, really regret. Then you would like to ask for forgiveness from all beings, whomsoever, from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that your karmic nature has caused any karmic negativity, fear, worry, anxiety, or suffering, or misled. You would like to sincerely, from the bottom of your heart, ask for forgiveness. And may this forgiveness be accepted. Then, may all these beings, no matter in whatever rhyme or existence they may be well, happy, and peaceful. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may they too realize the truth so that they also can free themselves from their mental suffering. Then may it also, after that, arise a causes and condition for all this karmic negativity to be amicably resolved through understanding. And then all this will bring forth the causes and condition for your earlier negative karma to actually soften or tone down, so that the karmic obstruction that can block you and make you miserable can be watered down or overcome. Not until the karmic obstruction is overcome, there is nothing that form and mind can do about it. Because when the karmic obstruction is there, it will obstruct you. Whatever you do, no use. Whatever people try to help you, also no use. It obstructs. That's why you have to ask for forgiveness, the first stage, to break the karmic obstruction. Then only there will be causes and conditions for a possibility of understanding and recovery and all those things. So after that, what you need to do is to vow not to repeat all this, means you determine to follow the advice of the Buddha. Keep the precept so that you can avoid all evil. From now onward, you will only cultivate wholesomeness, virtue, no more negativity. So avoid all evil, do good. Then you have to develop the wisdom so that you are not afflicted. You won't suffer when you confront with the first noble truth reality. the eight reality of birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved one, prize, possession, when you are with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way. Then the final summary, self-delusion, that condition, grasping, clinging, attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind, and that is the cause of suffering. So all this, you have to develop the understanding. Then after that, as you attend Dhamma class, as you attend puja, you perform a lot of wholesomeness, the 10 meritorious action. You make offering to the Buddha. This is generosity, this is wholesomeness. Then you rejoice. Then you chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, create affinity. Then you pay respect, you keep your precept, listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, share merit, transfer merit. Then provide service to help people, make offering to charity organization, relieve suffering and all that. So all these are very wholesome. Then as you learn all this, you start to straighten your view, which is also another meritorious action. Then the gift of truth, later on you can share this understanding too with other people, or introduce other people to come and develop the understanding to help them overcome their suffering. So when you do this, in future when you have suffering, there will be condition for other people to bring you to people who have the Dhamma to overcome them. That's why you must not be selfish. You must go all out to do all this wholesomeness, then to develop the understanding. Then when you yourself free, then you will have a lot of understanding. Then you will have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha and his teaching. Then you will really develop the understanding and confidence to share this with other people, because you have seen it happening to you. You have actually witnessed the teaching, how it can improve your life and make such a great difference to humanity's life. So this is what the Buddha Dhamma is all about. So no need to fear all those things. Even the ancestors, they do exist. That's why the Chinese tradition of having ancestor tabloid in your house is very good. Because in the underground world, or the non-human world, they also have delusion. So they are very pitiful ones, especially as Peta, even the Therakuda Sutta, the Buddha mentioned. Yeah, they cannot work, they don't have money, they don't have a career, they cannot plow, planting like what we do here, or invest and all, cannot. Yeah, that right, don't have such thing. They only depend on the transfer of merits from their loved ones, from their departed, from their relative. That's why we transfer merits to our departed relative, understand? Ancestor and all those things. They can only receive through this. So if you don't have all this, sometimes this non-human, our delusion, our anger, they can come and disturb you. Especially you don't have virtue, you don't have the Dhamma. Then when you are in a very negative situation, then it set the base for negative karma to come. Then you get into a lot of trouble. When you have a lot of trouble, what happens is your mind state are affected. You become restless. You have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, a lot of doubt. You don't know what is happening. Then your mental hindrance is very strong. At that time, they got power over you. They can disturb you because you don't have virtue. Then you have the condition for them to come and disturb you and take revenge. Then in the past, you are also like this non-human, disturb people, take advantage of them. So you cannot back. So what happens is, when you understand all this, you will not do all this, but you will respect them as or not. So that's why the ancestor tablet is useful, because it's like recognized though, in the underground world. It's like the underground world got their own rules. So there was one cultivator who can meditate and go into astral traveling and all those things, and can visit people's house at night, come out of the body. Then he go to a lot of people's house. Then he told me, he said, "But do you know your house? Oh, a lot, or is it? Cannot go in." Then now I know why my mother, when I was young, I got an uncle, my father's younger brother, who passed away, I think, 1 or 2 months after birth. He said, "This one cannot enter our house, my house, because according to the medium that my mother went to, instead of the medium, my grandfather who passed away already, take over the body of the medium and talk to my mother." You know what the medium asked my mother? In a different voice, "Do you know who I am?" My mother said, "I don't know. I'm your father-in-law." Then he told my mother, he said, "You come here, you know why? Because your husband is in the hospital." He knew. He said, "You listen properly." He said, "You know why he's in the hospital? Because this one that cannot come into the house, another uncle, is a spirit. He go and disturb my father until the ulcer become complicated." Then he said, "If you agree to his condition, your husband, which is my grandfather's son, my father, will come out of the hospital within 3 days." And really, 3 days, my father discharged her. Then she has to, of course, recuperate from the operation and all those things. Then after that, everything soon again. Oh, you believe or not? He just tell my mother, "You must agree to this." Yeah. We got 9 brothers and sisters. My grandfather told my mother, he said, according to the uncle, he only choose me, second in the family. I must become the Kai Chai. Kai Chai, your English called K Hoi. Godson, K Hoi. I don't know why he would choose me. That time I was very young, from 1 only. Of all the 9, he would choose me. He said, "This one," he said. "Then after that, I can come in." He said, You believe or not, I don't know. Then after that, he said, "Don't worry," he said, "he's still young now," he said. "Wait till he grew up on the day of marriage. Officially invite him in, my dad, father's brother, the uncle." Then my mother remembered that, because after that my father recovered, her whole family grew up very well and become very beautiful, very successful. Then my mother reminded me, "If we promise, we must do." I say, "Okay, no problem, invite him." Then we have the ancestor tablet there. It seems you don't have the ancestor tablet, and because my uncle is not related to us, and it's not related to my father, so we cannot enter. You think only our society got show IC, father, mother, bursar. There, check also the spirit. He say not related, one cannot. But K or E, then I become the godson. He godfather, then can come in. Like that also can. You believe or not? It's not for you to believe or don't believe, but it actually happened. That time I still don't understand. Then later on when I know the Dhamma, then I remember what the Buddha said. Don't get yourself involved with all this, understand or not? Because these are still mundane beings, understand? Although some of the devas, through medium, they try to help, but they still have delusion like any being. So if best, he said, don't get yourself involved in all this, because these are not Buddha Dhamma. But these are people who try to help. So I look back, actually, these traditional practices are not bad. Some of it are not bad. They are not right and ritual. They actually got its meaning, because the underground world don't understand. So you have, they can come in, they feel at peace, because it's actually in their mind, understand? But another family cannot go in, because in their mind, this demons or what, they stop them, they cannot go in. Then they have problem, understand? So they will feel the anger, the jealousy. Why other people got the ancestor tablet, their ancestor all can come in peaceful and have a very peaceful stay inside and all things? Why my You are the what? They are the ancestor. You are the what? How you call? The living one. Descendant. Ancestor and descendant. Why my descendant don't make all this for me? Oh, see, they get angry. But they also got you. They come and disturb you. So sometimes this type of practice bring about harmony and peace. Okay, but if you have Dhamma, you don't need to depend on all this. Understand? But sometimes for them, because they believe that, understand? They don't know how to have the higher virtue and all those things. So they will come and disturb you and haunt you or do whatever. Like the Therakuda Sutta, the Buddha got mentioned. Until you can feel their eerie energy and all those things. They are not at peace because you do not recall to mind and respect them and all those things. You didn't do what you're supposed to do to departed relative. You must play your part. The Buddha mentioned it in the Therakuda Sutta. So all these are in the teaching. But you don't have to go and see medium to do all this. But that time I realized my mother not educated. She don't know the Dhamma. So luckily she got good karma from the past. She didn't see the medium that conned her. At least she see one of those medium got some ethic one. So this one she went, she also asked around in somewhere in Perak there. Quite far. They say, don't ask for money, any amount up to you, but very accurate. So they know, my mother, that generation, they know the Lao Lang, the old people, they know, they will pass the word around. Then she really had the faith and she went, that's why she came back and with that, she recalled. She even in front of Topekong and Kuan Yin, she said, I can die, no problem, shorten my life also no problem. But my husband cannot die. See. All the 9 children depend on him. Oh, he really make that vow and request Kuan Yin to exchange. I saw her doing it. She was like mad already, crazy already. Not in the mad sense, no, like desperate already, very desperate. That time I was just Form 1, 13 years old, I remember. And I saw my mother went through all this. That's why later on when I knew about the Buddha Dhamma, then I realized what all this they do is Chinese traditional belief. So all this related to your question on ancestors and all those things. So they do exist, but in another rhyme. So respect them, share merit, transfer merit. These are more powerful, understand? Rather than invite them in and all those things. This one also useful if you don't know the Dhamma. But when you idang menya ti dang ho tu, they receive the manifestation there, then they don't need all this, understand? So a lot of these things, you will start to develop the understanding when you have the Buddha Dhamma. So the rite and ritual, the Chinese culture, the traditional belief, you will come to understand them and you can integrate them into the teaching and you don't have to be part of it. Like the Buddha said, don't ever get yourself entangled with the fortune teller, with the medium, with the all those, the feng shui or the right region. Forget about it. Because the main one is karma. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So take care of karma. That's it. The rest is all irrelevant, not important. Unless you don't have the Buddha Dhamma, then you depend on all this. Understand? It's just like last time before the Western medical science become what it is now. You have to rely on what? Chinese sensei in the medical shop. Or you have to go and see the TCM, traditional Chinese medicine and all that. Because you got no other choice. But as medical science become more advanced, if you know that they can do a better job, you will go. But sometimes the traditional TCM also very good. So you have to actually tap the best of both worlds. Understand? You cannot rely on one side. Because sometimes the Western medical science, they treat differently. They treat the symptom. They don't treat the source, the organ. So they use very strong drugs, or chemo and all this. Because to them, they want to fight the symptom. They say symptom is the thing that caused the problem. So he fight the symptom, he thought he treat the problem. But sometimes the Chinese traditional medicine, the approach is better. It's the organ that give rise to this symptom. When your organ is weak, fail, couldn't do its function properly, and then all these symptoms start to surface, like rheumatism, headache, then pain, whatever. So sometimes you follow the traditional Chinese medicine, you eat certain type of strengthen your organ, and really it work. Then sometimes they go and ask you to go and learn qigong and other things, improve your qi. They work, but take long time. That's why people who don't have patience cannot. They drink, they say very fu, bitter. Is it bitter? They don't want to drink. Yet zai long zai enough. Cannot. This one must take for 3 months, 6 months. Chinese medicine is like that. Even certain supplement, the Western one, it must take for 3 months, 6 months only you can see the effect. But when you take a new supplement, make sure you do your blood test. Because sometimes it has a side effect. Even the Chinese so-called herbs or whatever, you have to check. Sometimes it weakens your liver. Liver function will be affected. So these are the things that you have to understand. Okay? I hope I answer your question. Okay, not bad. Quite good. Any more question or reporting? We still got 20 minutes. Yeah. Pass the mic to PJ.
Hi, Brother.
Yeah.
Following up to this brother's question, you were saying that sharing of merits and all that.
Yeah.
So normally, like all of us, we try to do our religious routine either morning or night. So after we do our chanting and all that, that means we have to do the transfer of merits and all that too, right?
Yeah, sharing of merits, transfer of merits. You can wrap it up quickly if you want to. If not, you can, like you are in a rush for time, let's say you have to go to office or attend to something urgent, then you can stop, don't worry. Then come back and continue. When you finish your whatever work routine or things that you have to attend to, then after that, even when you are not in the house, you are in the office or outside, you can just silent while you're waiting to, like, for your turn. Sometimes you go to government department, you take the number queue, you got to wait in there. Or you go clinic, you got to wait. That's why I learn how to relax, silent, and meditate when you're there. Then continue to radiate loving kindness and metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, be well and happy, well and have love and compassion everywhere you go. Radiate this to the environment, to all beings within the vicinity. So this will become a new way of heedful living, and it can bring about a lot of goodness, a lot of wholesomeness. So this religious routine is to maintain the momentum for heedfulness to be developed, so that you are always aware, mindful, heedful. That's why the Buddha says, strive on with heedfulness. That's it. The moment you are not heedful, the Buddha says, the heedless are as if dead, means spiritually you are dead. So you cannot afford to be heedless. So if you only come to class and only heedful, or go to retreat, only heedful, then the rest of the day you are like your usual self of heedlessness. You ask yourself, most of the time you are heedless as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So that's why you have to strive on to have this heedfulness throughout the day. I used to share with you all, unless you can be in the state of mindfulness or heedfulness throughout the day in the midst of life, you will never able to develop the progress in the real meditation. The real meditation only start when your mind can be heedful most of the time throughout the day, and you can cultivate the daily mindfulness in daily life. You have yet to start the real meditation. That's why daily mindfulness in daily life is very important. Ever mindful to cultivate noble eightfold path, starting from right view, then right thought, right speech, right action, then the four right effort, right livelihood, then sati, mindfulness, samasati, leading to samasamadhi. So all this is what the cultivation is all about. If you cannot have this type of understanding, very difficult to progress, I realize. Most of the time, what you have developed is just some form of conditioned state of mind, peacefulness of mind, calmness of mind, and you like experience some peace, some joy, some happiness, quietness of mind. Then you think you have progressed. Then you have some Dhamma knowledge. Then you link the Dhamma through thinking, through your thought process. But then when you come out of the retreat, when you are back in your daily life, you realize you have not changed. Your basic desire, your basic fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, they still exist. Your evil roots are still there. You still have selfishness. You still have delusion. You still have craving. You still have fear, worry, anxiety. You still can be afflicted, sorrow and lamentation. You can still be excited by things. Then you realize this is all not real, not rooted out yet. Because the understanding is not there. But when you have daily mindfulness, when you start to see clearly through the silent mind, through the mind that is aware without conditioning from your brain, your memory, your views and your opinion, then you see things as they are. Then you understand clearly how you become like that, how your mind state get conditioned into all this negativity, then how it create karmic effect on you, how your karma get affected, how it leads to heedlessness, downfall and all those things. Then you start to understand why the Buddha teach like that. How come you must have mindfulness and heedfulness to see clearly your mental intention, to see your evil roots, to straighten your view, to avoid evil, through ever mindful of your negativity or action, speech and thought. The evil root must be rooted out through clear seeing. Any form of selfishness, however subtle, you have to see them. Then how the egoic mind is tied to this personality that conditions you into believing that you exist. When you think you exist, then you become selfish. And that's how greed, craving, desire come about. It's through this personality that believe you exist that you become selfish. Then you want things your way. Then that craving, the desire to own and to possess, then things don't go your way, you become angry emotionally. So your greed, hatred, and your fear, which is delusion, they will come in when you think or believe you are real. That's why self-delusion is very powerful. The moment that sakyadity arises, the three evil roots follow. But when you realize that this is not you, then you will not do things the way you used to do. Because the three evil roots are the root of all evil, basis of negativity or karma. Your karma will fall. You have to root them out. Your selfishness, your craving, your desire, your envy, your jealousy, your fear, your insecurity, your anxiety, your sorrow, all this you have to root it out. You have to replace it with virtue, generosity, loving kindness, respect, contentment, gentleness, pleasantness, kindness, goodness, love and metta. You have to replace it, all this good quality that we call virtue. So when you start to understand all this, your cultivation becomes automatic. You can never do all those things. Then you really become totally different. Then when you encounter light, you are different. People will see you, they will feel you. Then you are very genuine one. You are very noble in every aspect of life. You are very different. And you can see the unreality of form and mind, the unreality of the phenomenal world, the world of consciousness. Then you realize all this no reality. He know you, he know me. Then you won't get yourself entangled, emotional, the attachment no more. Then you also understand that this form and mind has its duty. But this one is subject to karma, but this one is not you, understand? The form and mind is karmically conditioned on this segment of your life. The vehicle and the tool that brings you to this existence. So use it to live life. Don't cling, don't attach, don't be deluded by it. Don't get yourself entangled by it. So life becomes beautiful when you understand. Oh, then remind me, just now Susan called me. He said she's still in the hospital. I think the sister is still quite weak, going through quite difficult situation. But like she requested on Tuesday, she just wants us to make use of our Thursday class to share merit, transfer merits, so that it can arise the causes and conditions for her to have, if there is condition to recover, of course, to recover. Yeah. But if no, then to have the causes and conditions for her to have a better rebirth, so that all this wholesomeness can pave the way for there to be causes and conditions to have a better life in the hereafter. Because of affinity she has with her, this life, they were sisters. And she used to follow her, according to Susan, to Thailand, spiritual trip and all those things. So I say, you don't worry, because this will be her inheritance, her part of me. So just talk to her, advise her. Even though they are unconscious or like cannot hear you, but they actually can hear you. We have the consciousness inside can hear you. Sometimes their organs start to fail already. Then a lot of things has lost its ability to function. But the clear consciousness inside there will become brighter and brighter, because as it like dissipates its craving force towards the body at the moment of death, it will be like released, free. Then it is very clear. As long as the consciousness don't have fear, have understanding, it can meditate very easily, it can be at peace very easily. So that's why I told her to tell her, do not fear. Remind her of the good parami that she has done during the spiritual trip, her donation, her offering, her rejoicing and all those things. Then maintain faith in the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Then listen to whatever chanting and all those things. Then silent. Be with the moment. Then everything will just happen. Nothing to fear. Death is very simple. Consciousness separate, come out. The craving force will dissipate first. Then the consciousness will come back into one. Then it come out. Then you cannot see them. They can see you. They can even hear you. So you don't have to worry about all this type of thing. Take care of karma. Karma will take care of your life. So have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Okay. I answer your question. Maybe we will make use of the 5 minutes to radiate some metta to Sister Susan's sister. Te Sui Lui, is it? Madam Te, Te Sui Lui. Madam Te. Oh, Miss, yeah, not married, yes. Sister, Sister Te Sui Lui. Yeah. same age as Suyan. Oh, you're 60, right? Oh, so young. Oh, okay. Hey, I thought you were younger than us. 2 years only, right? 2 years. I'm 63 already, you know. 62 plus, going to 63 already. October 63 already. Yeah, 54. Yeah? 1-6. Oh, October only 62, ah? Oh, yeah, too fast, ah. No, I count 1-6, ah. 1-6 minus 54, ah. I 62 already. Yeah, lah. Well, my birthday happened to be October, lah. But you calculate the 9 months before you conceive and come out, ah, you already over, ah. Huh? The Chinese, no. In the womb, 10 months. So you must add 10 months. So you above already, actually. Since conception, above 63 already. But not important. Don't try to be right. Right and wrong won't solve your problem. Lead to argument, difference of opinion. Okay. We recall to mind all of our wholesomeness. He already told me. I told her on Tuesday. This is a reality of life and existence. So accept it. And you have to develop that. And she said she already had the understanding, but it's only the family members. Then because of affinity, she made that request. I said, very good. So because of that, I will do it for you. Because she is our Kayanamita, and the sister is also Buddhist. Well, I asked her, is she a Buddhist? Otherwise, we have to amend the what they call the description of the sharing and all that. Otherwise, you create conflict. The consciousness doesn't want that because their belief system is different. So you have to be very sensitive. But she told me no problem. But she used to follow her on spiritual trip. Okay, let us recall to mind all of our wholesomeness, meritorious action and deed that we have cultivated for the last 2 hours plus, when we start our Dhamma session, puja and Dhamma sharing until now. We, together with all the Kayamita's wholesomeness, we shall now rejoice in all this wholesomeness and dedicate this wholesomeness for causes and conditions, for Sister Susan's sister, Sister Te Sui Lui, to have the causes and conditions to recover from her whatever sickness, if there is condition for it to happen. Otherwise, may this wholesomeness be channeled towards her next future birth, in whatever state of being she will take. May it arise the causes and conditions for her to have a better here after life. And may the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha be always with her. May she be protected by the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. And may the wholesomeness that she has cultivated too bring forth the causes and conditions for her to have a better rebirth, so that she can have the condition to continue with her Dhamma cultivation, to realize the truth, to understand the true Buddha Dhamma, so that her mind can be liberated too soon as possible. Then whatever wholesomeness that we have shared and transferred, may it too arise the causes and conditions for all Kayanamitas to realize your good and noble wishes. Then we shall together rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we meditate for maybe 1 minute. We radiate metta to the sister. May Sister Susan's sister, Sister Pele, sweetly, be well and happy. May her mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. If there is condition, may she recover to good health. May she be well, happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, And may there be joy deep within us. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much for helping out. Okay. Then we can do our sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamodito chirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang sama kamo hotu nyawa nirvana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Keep a respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the holy ones.
And respect to both you for sharing the Buddha Dhamma with us tonight by saying Sadhu three times.
Sadhu, Sadhu,
Sadhu. Making the Buddha Dhamma sharing make it possible.
So, like Suyan always say, thank all Kayamita for bringing the offering, especially the second bouquet of flowers from Joyce and who? Joyce only, I thought it must be together with Michael. So they waited outside. Sorry about that. So we should all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you so much. So you all have done a lot of goodness today, a lot of wholesomeness. So learn to rejoice more and more, have faith in Buddha Dhamma Sangha, then have good mind, peacefulness of mind, maintain the quiet, silent, heedful mind, be aware, be attentive throughout the day, then have a good religious routine like last Thursday, what we went through. maintain your momentum of practice and cultivation, then you will progress very fast, I tell you. As long as you are heedful, mindful throughout the day, you will progress very fast. In fact, that is the real meditation. No amount of sitting can bring about the result, I tell you. Sitting is only useful when you understand there are time to sit. But the real cultivation is the Tisambhajana, daily mindfulness. Because without that, you cannot see your mind. You cannot see your evil roots. You cannot see your wrong view, your delusion. You cannot root it out. Because there is a free mind in daily life. If you are in a samadhi or samatha state, condition state, in retreat condition or tranquil setting, not much use unless you have your path and you know how to develop the wisdom out of it, which is usually not the real one. But the real one is different. It's not a conditioned state. The mind is not made quiet through control or fixing or focusing or absorption. It's a free mind that allows the defilement, the latent tendency to arise. Then only you can see that they are still there. Then nothing free except wisdom. Without mindfulness to see and awaken, to straighten your view, you cannot free. Where there are still latent tendency inside, you cannot root it out. That's why all the conditions, the samatha meditation, they will suppress all the hindrance and you cannot really see them. And they normally deviate and lead to psychic without them knowing it. So don't be deluded by what is being taught or what people tell you. There are time to sit. There are time to develop the formal meditation. Actually, the early day, the purpose of formal meditation is to train the mind initially because they find it very difficult to control the mind. Very difficult to train the mind to be mindful, to be aware naturally on its own. That's why they use formal meditation. In the formal meditation, your senses are not really active. Whereas in the midst of daily life, your senses are all operative and very active. That's why you don't have mindfulness, you cannot cope with life. Your sense experience arise and pass away so fast. Like speed of lightning, like you can multitask. So without that mindfulness and heedfulness, you cannot know what is going on. You cannot understand what is going on. You cannot have the direct seeing, the clear seeing. So all this is what meditation is all about. So hopefully through this understanding, you will actually know how to develop the cultivation accordingly. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness is key. The Buddha called it, this is the only way. Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. Ekayano means the only way for the purification of being or the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, namely the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why I start with anapanasati or any skillful means to train your mind. Then straight away go into four posture. You follow this. Then after that, the connecting activity of the four posture, sati sambhajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. If you do that, the initial wisdom insight will come. Then after that only you can do the four element, 32 part, 9 stages of 7-3 contemplation. Otherwise, not enough initial wisdom to understand all those things. Then it become like theory, no use. Then only you can understand what is Vedana Anupassana, because your mind has the initial insight into the three universal characteristics. Then it can see them now. The real seeing, not through the thought. Then the content of consciousness will come in after Vedana. Vedana is to see the movement that pure feeling has become craving, positive and negative, or neutral feeling. Means the mind has stirred, the hindrance has arisen. Then you will know how to trace the origination factor. That's how you move on to citta nupassana, then content of consciousness. Then you see the content, the three evil roots and all those things, the five mental hindrance. Then also you can see the seven factors of enlightenment. Yeah. Then the Dhamma Nupassana, the Four Noble Truths. Yeah. The first one is the five mental hindrance, then the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why you go in stages. Then the six endor, internal and external. Yeah. Then after that, only the seven factor of enlightenment, then accumulating into the Four Noble Truths. When you start to see the seven factor of enlightenment, you know you are already on the right path. Otherwise, the factor of enlightenment is not there. But you cultivate until fantastic mind state and you think you already enlightened. You check factor enlightenment, most of it is not there. Oh, then different type of enlightenment. So this is very important. Without sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma. That's why daily mindfulness is every moment in sati to investigate the Dhamma. Then your virya become different. Then from virya, you develop piti. That's why piti will accumulate into pasati, then samadhi, then only upeka, the last one, equanimity, born of wisdom, not born of a fixed mind, a conditioned mind. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is just for the recording, because this part is the summary. Okay.